If you've got your Bibles, find your places to the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. And we're going to finish up our series this morning, Lord willing, in the book of Proverbs. And so it's been a great study, a great time of going through and picking out sections, portions of Scripture and some of these have been familiar to us, some of these maybe not so familiar to us. And so it's been a learning experience for me. One of the things we've said about Proverbs from the beginning is that this book is the book of wisdom, but it's also the way to wisdom, and the personification of wisdom is seen most clearly in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so every turn of phrase, every passage, every section is a reminder that it points us back to Christ, who is the wisdom of God. And so whether it be instructions to a young man or instructions to a king or just a random string of proverbs that are strung together that seem like they don't have a purpose behind them, be assured that in some way, in some form or some fashion, as we gain understanding, it'll point us towards the wisdom found only in Christ. Now, most of us don't like to admit when we're afraid of something. Some of us are open about it. Most of us, men especially, we don't like to admit too much when we find ourselves afraid. But is there a person in your life, maybe at some point, don't shout it out, but that you say, I've been afraid of that person, you know? Maybe it was that reclusive neighbor that you looked at from the yard and you said, man, that guy's creepy. You know, I, as a kid growing up, I didn't want to go near their house, across the front yard with them. They were a little weird, you know, and maybe you had a fear, an irrational fear of them. Maybe it was somebody in your family that you just, as a distant family member, you saw them once a year at some function and you always thought they were mean and crusty and you just didn't like them and you were afraid of them. I remember growing up in elementary school how we had a lady who was a teacher there, and all we had heard for years was the rumors swirling around about how she beat youngins, you know. And so I remember growing up thinking, I can't wait to get to her class because, man, this woman sounds horrible. You know, I wish I could bypass it, but I had to go through it. And I've heard about the paddle and how she would have her drawer when she'd pull the paddle out and scare kids to death. And I heard all that stuff. Of course, years later, looking back, I realized none of that was true at all. It had all been made up by these older kids. But as a kid, you know, in my mind, I just could envision how mean or how fearful this lady must have been. This morning, I want to talk to you about a woman that a lot of ladies in our church are scared of. There's a lady that they've heard about that has caused them to have their insecurities rise in their hearts. There's this lady in the Bible that tells us about today that they've looked at her portrait and they have felt inadequate. They have looked at her and compared themselves and didn't measure up. They've looked at this woman in the Bible today that we're going to look at, and they've been discouraged. As a matter of fact, this lady's got more gifts than they think they've got, and her legacy has been long-lasting, and they're terrified of her, and it's infected them and how they live their lives. And you'd ask, who is this woman? And Proverbs 31 tells us about a woman the Bible describes as the virtuous wife, or the excellent wife, or this virtuous woman. And if we read these phrases from verse 10 to verse 31, you're going to see a number of characteristics and traits of her life that most women, when they look at this, go, oh my goodness, I could never do this. I don't measure up to this. I'm not this. That's for somebody else. And because of that, it has hindered some of you in your walk with the Lord. And I hope today to be an encouragement to you. I want everybody today to listen in closely to the Word of God this morning. I think this passage applies not just to moms. It doesn't just apply to wives. It doesn't just apply to sisters or young girls. Or I think it applies to mature women. It applies to unmarried ladies. It applies to the men even. Because as we look at this text, we'll see it in its context of how these were words that were an encouragement to a young man to look for this kind of a woman and pursue a relationship with her, one that would draw him close to the Lord and make him aware of who he was and walking in the ways of wisdom. I think there's two important features this morning to consider before we read Proverbs 31. Most of you have heard Proverbs 31 preached at a Mother's Day sermon or something like that. I've never done it, but you probably heard somebody do it. You probably heard it in those kind of contexts before. But I want you to consider two things before we jump into that text. Number one, I'd say to you this. This passage, Proverbs 31, is written from a mother to her son, a guy by the name of King Lemuel. Now, we don't know much about him, but we know a lot about what she thought about how he ought to live. As a matter of fact, if you look at this, you'll see in the beginning of Proverbs 31, verse 1, it says, these are the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. All right? So his mom is the one who gave him this instruction. And if you were to read on down in the first 9 verses, you would find in there that she reminds him not to give his strength away to women who would not do the right thing. He says that in verse 3. She says, son, she said, there are women that will destroy kings. Stay away from them kind of women, amen? And some of y'all's mamas taught the same thing, amen? There are certain women to avoid. And so his mom said the same thing. Nothing's changed in 3,000 years. It's the same kind of information. Good word. She also reminded her son in Proverbs 31. She said, don't, as a prince or as a king, you shouldn't have anything to do with intoxicating drink. Good motherly advice. She says, you're not going to be able to rule well if you can't think well. And she said, don't do that. And then she goes on down and tells him to be a person of justice. She speaks to him as one who should speak up for those who are less fortunate. Good motherly advice in the first 9 verses. So we know these are words from a mom to a son. Now, the reason I point that out is because a lot of ladies think that Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31, are written from men to men, as though a man made up all these imaginary characteristics, right? We read Proverbs 31 and you say, oh yeah, some guy must have wrote this. He wants me to be a superwoman. Have you ever read Proverbs 31? And I want to remind you that this is written from mom to son. And this is not written from man to man. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And he was saying here, this is worthwhile for us to read and to understand. Secondly, it's another important characteristic of this text. It's not just who it's from and the inspiration behind it, but it's this. It's that it's written as a poem. This is a perfection of what a woman ought to be. This is this beautiful portrait, if you will, of all these various traits that we'll see this morning of what she ought to look like, but it's written as a poem. And it's not just any kind of poem, it's a unique poem. It's written as an acrostic poem, which is one of these things where every letter has a different meaning behind it. You guys have done things like this before. You understand what I'm saying. This acrostic, however, is written very uniquely in the Hebrew Bible. It doesn't convey itself in our English Bible that we have, but in the Hebrew Bible, there's 22 different characters of the alphabet, like we would have A, B, C, D, all the way to Z. They had 22. Well, every one of these verses begins with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so it would begin at the first letter, go to the second letter, go to the third, all the way down the length of the alphabet. And so every one of these sentences, every one of these phrases was connected to one of those letters. Now, here's why that's important. It's because clearly this was written and it was done in such a way that it would be a poem that he could remember. It'd be something that would be used as a memory device. And as a young man being taught from his mother, she'd say, remember that poem I taught you? And he'd say, yeah, that's right. A, women are amazing. B, women are beautiful. C, women are captivating. D, women are dependable. And he would go down the list. You get the point. Acrostic, A, B, C, D. And she said, remember this, son, as you grow up and as you begin to pursue a relationship, what kind of a lady would mama want you to have? And she begins to lay out a godly version of what a virtuous woman would look like. In our English version, we would say, here's a lady who fits the bill from A to Z. In other words, if it could be said about her, you know, we want to pursue a woman that fulfills the full gamut of what God has demanded from her. And so as we look at this, I want you to see this passage, not as a discouragement, not as something that you look at it and get frustrated by it, but I want to say that this passage is for both men and women, for us to be pushed towards Christ-likeness. And to admit our weaknesses, and to admit if there are areas in these verses where we find ourselves maybe a little lackluster, to say, Lord, how could I walk closer to Christ? How could I yield and submit in these areas of my life to make me more of a virtuous woman, a woman of valor, a woman of strength that the Bible would describe today? The Old Testament book of Proverbs talks about there being a foolish woman. It talks about a strange woman. And then it talks about woman wisdom. And here she is personified at the end, just as wisdom was personified as a woman at the beginning chapters. And we see God bringing this book to its conclusion, saying, this is the picture of what my desire would be for you. And in this case, particularly, King Lemuel. Now, I don't have any desire to go through 22 different various characteristics and point them out. You could easily do that. But what I have done is condense them down to 4 traits that I think you'll see in every virtuous woman, a woman that's pursuing after the heart of God. And so read with me, if you will, beginning in verse 10 of Proverbs 31. The Bible says, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. And so he will have no lack of gain, and she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. And she seeks wool and flax, and she willingly works with her hands, and she's like the merchant ships, and she brings her food from afar. She rises while it's yet night, provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field, and she buys it. And it from her profits she has planted a vineyard, and she girds herself with strength, and she strengthens her arms, and she perceives that her merchandise is good. And her lamp doesn't go out by night. She stretches out her hand to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. And she extends her hand to the poor, and she reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all of her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes a tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, and when he sits among the elders of the land, and she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes, the Bible says, for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness, and she watches over the ways of her household. She doesn't eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Man, what a description, what a portrait of this virtuous woman, all the different things that she does. Some of y'all are saying, where's Proverbs 32 at? Where is it at for the men? I want to see the next chapter where you lay it on the boys and tell them to get their act together, right? But the Bible ends here with this beautiful portrait of what the attributes of a virtuous woman would be. First of all, I'd say to you that a virtuous woman, according to Scripture, would be one who is marked with integrity. She's marked by integrity. If you look at verse 10 again, it says, who can find a virtuous wife? An excellent wife, it could be translated. But the first phrase is the interesting one. It says, who can find one? In other words, it doesn't mean that they can't be found, but it means when you find one, you've got a beautiful treasure. Amen? It means that it's a rarity in our culture, and even as it was in the days of the king, King Lemuel. And so here, his mother's saying, son, she said, there's lots of women, but they ain't all virtuous women. There's lots of people you could pursue and have in your entourage. There's lots of folks you could bring an intimate relationship with yourself with, but be careful about the ones that you bring close. Who can find a virtuous wife? This woman who is translated in some of your Bibles as the excellent wife, the noble wife, the valiant wife. It implies strength and valor in her activities, excellence in her ways, a woman who takes seriously her calling to walk in the ways of the Lord. Her value is more precious than precious stones, even, it says. It says, for her worth is far above rubies. You can't buy this kind of woman. She's a woman of integrity. This is the desire of the Lord's heart, I believe, is to see his daughters in Christ be raised up to be these kinds of women, to be these women of virtue marked by integrity. The Scripture says in the Scripture in verse 11, the heart of her husband safely trusts her. He has no doubt about her love or his affection. He has no doubt about her integrity or the condition of her heart. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs and a number of other places about the value of such a woman, such a wife in particular. It says in Proverbs 12, verse 4, it says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. Well, that's kind of self-explanatory, isn't it? In other words, if you're a stinky wife, you're going to stink up your husband's life. Amen. You cause a rottenness in his bones. But if you're a woman who's an excellent wife, a virtuous wife, you're a crown to his head. All men would agree they married up. Amen. We'd all agree with that. I mean, I think there's nobody in this room that is a married man that would say, oh, yeah, I went downhill. No, I married up. You know, we have a woman who becomes the crown to our head, the one who adorns us with her beauty. Secondly, Proverbs 18:22 says this, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. I don't know if I'd want to call her a thing or not, but nonetheless, the Bible says, if you find a wife, you found a good thing. And so you know what that means in the slang, and you have obtained favor from the Lord. What a blessing that God has pointed out for those of you that are married and you've got a good wife, an excellent wife, a virtuous wife. It says, hey, that's favor of God shining on your life. And so we praise the Lord for that. Proverbs 19:14 says this, houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers. But it says this, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Isn't that neat? You might go through life, men, and you might say, well, I got all kinds of property and I've acquired assets in my life and I've inherited things and I'm wealthy, but you've got nothing, it says. That's from men. It says, but from the Lord, you've got a prudent wife and that's a gift from God. And so you ought to treasure that gift. Why? Because the Scripture says, who can find such a woman? And when you do, you ought to hold it tight and hold it dear. I believe integrity builds trust. Would you agree with that? Integrity builds trust, and that's why the Bible says, of such a woman, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, and he'll have no lack of gain. This is the picture of a man who would leave behind his money and say, you know what, I just trust that you're going to do the best interest in my heart for this. You're not going to squander our resources. I might go off on a trip or go off and pursue business endeavors or whatever. And it says his heart fully trusts in this one. The heart of her husband is safely trusting in her. He has no lack of gain. He says, we're not going to lose when you're involved. Your integrity that you've proven yourself with, he says, of course, leads itself to trust. This woman, I believe in the scripture here, is depicted as a virtuous woman who eventually is depicted in this text as a virtuous wife, and by God's providence is depicted as one who would then become a virtuous mother, and she is committed to live her life with integrity. Now remember, this is a poem. This is written of a person that it's describing in a general sense. It's not a real person, but it's saying this is the kind of person that God desires for ladies to be. She says what she means, and she means what she says, and her life is consistent and reliable and marked by integrity, and her husband knows he can trust her. And men, that's why the Bible says that's a prudent thing, that's a gift from God. It's the favor of God in your life. You see, women who are married, women who are mothers, women who are not married, women who are not mothers, it doesn't matter. The point is you ought to be striving under the power of the Holy Spirit to be a woman of virtue and integrity. This past week, I was preaching at a camp in North Carolina, and I had a chance to go preach to some high school kids. I told our Wednesday night crowd about it. And of course, we had 111 high school kids there, upper school kids, 9th through 12th grade kids. And so in a matter of less than 24 hours, one of them lost their cell phone. Imagine that, all right? Now, granted, again, it would be devastating for any of us to lose our cell phone because our lives are so tied to them. But you can imagine how devastating it was for this young lady. Life was over, amen? And so with less than 24 hours, she lost her cell phone. The problem was her cell phone was lost among 110 or 11 other high school kids, not to mention the fact we were on a campus that was 1,000 acres, all right, with a lake. So needless to say, none of us found her cell phone. Now, it doesn't mean that her cell phone couldn't be found. It just means it's difficult to find it. Somebody's going to find a nice iPhone next weekend, probably stumbling through the woods at Camp Caraway. Now, here's the point. The virtuous wife isn't impossible to find, but man, when you do find it, what a treasure it is. What a treasure it is. And the writer of Proverbs 31 is saying to her son, she's saying, son, this is the kind of woman you search for. This is the kind of woman you do bring close. This is the kind of woman that you want to desire in your life, a woman marked by integrity, even if she's hard to find. Amen. It's a reward when you find her. Amen. And so for our folks that are married, for our folks that are unmarried, for our boys, whoever it might be, again, across the board, the question becomes, what kind of woman are you pursuing, or what kind of woman are you in the Lord? And I would ask the question, are you trustworthy, ladies? Are you a woman marked by this? The wise woman would strive in this area of integrity to be trustworthy. And I'm not just talking about here in regards to marital fidelity. That's an obvious given in the Word of God. Nobody's saying, are you just trustworthy in your marriage? What he's saying of this woman is that she's a woman who has integrity. She's trustworthy in the public affairs of life. And she's trustworthy in the private affairs of life. And she's striving like men are encouraged in the Word of God to do, to strive to be above reproach and to live blameless, and to value your testimony above earthly treasures. Are you listening? The camp I was at this past week, for example, I was invited to ride across that campus with a lady there who was directing the events of that weekend. And I know this lady for years, but I ain't getting in the car with her to ride to a cafeteria, even if I am on a Christian camp. Because that ain't going to look good. I'm just not going to do it. And I'm not going to be alone with that woman doing that. Why? Because I want her to maintain her integrity, and I want to maintain my integrity. And if you don't like that, you'll get over that, because that's the least of your worries in life. If I've offended you in that, I'm not going to do that. It's just not wise counsel. And so she said, well, don't you want to ride? I said, I'll walk. And I did. And she drove past me as I walked in the dust of her vehicle all the way there, maintaining my integrity. Climbing the hill out of breath, but I didn't apologize for that. She didn't mean no harm by it. I'm not saying anything negative about her, but I'm looking after her. Men, we ought to look after these ladies that God puts in our lives, whether they're our wives or they're not. We ought to care about their integrity and say, I don't want to do anything to diminish your testimony because your integrity is worth more than far above rubies, it says, even in the scripture today. And so secondly, I'd say to you, not only is a virtuous wife marked by integrity, but she's marked by industry. She's industrious. She's not lazy. She's a worker. And the scripture says in verse 13, she seeks wool and flax, and she willingly works with her hands. And she's like the merchant ships. Now, I wouldn't call my wife a boat, all right? I'm just saying, that's just a word to the wise. That's a proverb, and Solomon would have agreed with that one, all right? Don't say, man, you're like a merchant ship. Well, you got to understand the context of what he's saying, okay? It says she's not like that, but she's like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it's not yet, while it's yet night, and she provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. Now, I've never had to go so far as to take the wool and the flax and take the bare elements and begin to put it into thread and then take the thread and begin to put it into fabric and to take the fabric and then begin to put it into actual clothing. Can you imagine? I mean, don't they just have a Walmart somewhere in the book of Proverbs? King Lemuel, go down to the local shopping center and just buy some clothes. Don't put this woman through this. And so what the Bible's saying is every one of you women ought to get at the loom and the weaver's beam, and you ought to just start making your husband's clothing. That's the way I think I'm interpreting this morning. That's not what it's saying, all right? But what it is saying is that in her context, here's a lady who was not scared to work. She took the raw products and made thread, and from the thread made fabric, and from the fabric cared for her family and prepared garments for them and did all these amazing things. She willingly worked with her hands. It was a joy for her to do that. It was a joy for her to provide for her family. She's like the merchant ships who brings food from afar. This is a lady who did couponing, all right? This is a woman who said, I'll drive 20 miles out of the way to save 15 cents on a bag of potato chips. That's what it's talking about in that scripture. That's what it means. This is like the merchant ship who'd go off and grab some exotic food from another country and bring it back home to where she's from. She said, man, my wife, she's like that. I looked, said, what'd you do today? Well, I had to go over there because I got a better deal on turkey breast, and so I bought it from there, and then I went over here and I got a better deal here. Why? Because she's managing the affairs of the household, and she's looking to her husband and she's saying, hey, I'm keeping us straight because I know how you are. You don't pay attention to anything. My wife will say amen silently right now. She's thinking about these things. She said, no, if I don't look after us, yeah, I know you won't look after us. I take these things seriously. I work hard, and I willingly want to go out and provide this food for my family, but I'm going to do what's right. She rises while it's yet night. Boy, the sun hadn't even come up yet, and boy, she's already working, the Bible says, providing food for her household. Oh, we have it so easy today, you know, our conveniences and such, but can you imagine the context in which this is written? A lady who has to seriously consider, I've got to have a fire to do and make provisions, and I've got to go grind some grain and do all these things and make bread and such for my family. And so she's doing that. And then it says even that she provides a portion for her maidservants. Now, that word portion could mean that she's giving a portion of food for them, which again shows her heart and her compassion such as that. But some have translated that word to mean almost that she's giving out instructions for labor. And so it's as though she comes to her servants and says, hey, here's the task for the day. Here's the 10 things I need you to do today. Here's your portion for today, and here's your portion for the day. And if that's the case, then it's showing us again, this is an industrious woman, clearly in this verse, who has great wealth, who is there in a king's court, and there she's distributing the duties for the day. And so she's running the household matters. She's on a schedule. She's making assignments. She's doing all these things. Let's be honest. This sounds very much like a lot of the women that I know today. They're just not out here making their own T-shirts and such as that, right? I mean, don't your lives feel like this sometimes? Don't you feel like you're still just spinning your wheels and you're running hard and you're doing all kinds of things that are keeping you busy? I read an article this past week in studying for this. And in this article, they did a survey attempting to place a monetary value on what a stay-at-home mom should make, all right? Now, I don't know how in the world you would categorize all that. How would you do that if you happen to be a stay-at-home mom? But here's what they chose to do in this particular article. And this was at a secular magazine. It wasn't like a Christian publication. They determined that if mothers were paid for their 10 most common vocations, they don't do all 10 of them at the same time, but they have a percentage of their time doing these things, what would they make? Here's the vocations they chose, and you can, in your mind, imagine, if you will. It said, for one thing, they'd be a laundry machine operator. I'm not making this up. They'd be a janitor, makes sense, a van driver, a computer operator, a housekeeper, a daycare center teacher, a cook, a chief executive officer, I like that one, a psychologist, and a facilities manager. And if you were to take all 10 of those jobs and imagine the percentage of time that a stay-at-home mom probably worked in some of those things, it says she should be earning over $117,000 a year. Amen? And all the stay-at-home moms said, amen to that, brother. And that's too cheap. But she should get overtime because, of course, a mother's work is what? Never done. That's right. So she'd get extra. The point I'm making is this, is that we ought to seek to work hard for the glory of God in everything we do. And moms, I know sometimes it's behind-the-scenes stuff. It's before the lights come off in the morning. It's before the sun rises. It's the stuff where you're out here making decisions for your family that's hard decisions that you make those judgment calls on and nobody really sees it. But I want to encourage you in this, and I think God's word's encouraging in this, is to say, this is the picture of the virtuous woman, the woman who doesn't need the pat on the back, but the woman who's doing it for the glory of God and says, I want to be a woman of integrity. I want to be a woman that's industrious. I don't want to be lazy in the time that I have. I don't want to squander my resources. I want to do well for the sake of the kingdom of God. And remember, your labor in this life may not be recognized by others, but I would say to you, it is never forgotten by God. And that's more important than anything else. Here's what will happen. Sometimes if you're not careful, ladies, you'll get so wrapped up and so bitter that you'll be angry because nobody recognizes what you're doing. Right? That's just the nature of the beast. That's just how bad it can be. You can get so overwhelmed with family life and domestic things, and you go, you know what? Nobody even cares. But never lose sight of the fact that the one who really matters cares the most. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. A wise woman is one who would be modeling integrity, modeling industriousness. She's a worker. And then thirdly, I'd say to you, she's one who models great intelligence. You pick it up in verse 16, you see the text. There's a variety of things that happens here. And this is a lady who is using her mind and her giftings to bless those in her family. She's an intelligent woman. It says she considers a field, verse 16, and she buys it from her profits and she plants a vineyard. Now, where in the world is she getting profits from? Well, look down at verse 24. It says she makes linen garments and she sells them. I mean, this is a lady who is so smart that she's beginning to have her own little thriving export business, all right? It says she makes the garments, and then it says in the text, she supplies sashes for the merchants. I mean, she's no dummy. She's a marketing person. She says, come here, you sailor. And she puts a sash on him, gives a little thing to tie around his waist. She says, I'll give you a free one. Now go sell some of these other ones I made. And he gets back on the merchant ship, and he sails across the ocean to some other country taking her wares. And he's paid her for them. So she's selling all kinds of clothing, doing all kinds of stuff. Man, don't you know her husband loves her? He said, this is great. You know, she's working from home and she's doing an amazing business. And then it says she takes the money and goes out and considers a field, buys it, puts a vineyard in it. Why? Provide for her family, makes more provision for profit. She's doing all kinds of entrepreneurial things. This is an intelligent woman. God's saying, listen, God's version of women was never to put them in a box and throw them under a rock. God was always uplifting women. He said, oh, no. No, she's a strong woman. Goes on down in the text, it says this. Look at verse 17. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. Man, she's been to Planet Fitness. She's ready to go. Well, I don't know if that really says that, but nonetheless, you know what I mean. I mean, here's a lady. She's girded up. She's strengthened. She's strengthening her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good. She says, hey, I'm doing good work, solid work. I'm an intelligent woman. And then it says this about her. I love this. It says she extends her hand to the poor. She's not just all about herself. She's thinking about others. She has great compassion for other people. She reaches to the needy, those who are in need and those who are afflicted. She's not afraid of snow for her household. And I know y'all know what this means. This means that she was a canning person, right? She had freezers. She had about 5 freezers and a pantry full of canned food. She wasn't afraid of the snow to come. Why? She's providing for her family. She says, I'm not afraid of these things. I'm not scared by these things. I would say to you that that's an impressive, impressive thing. It goes on to say this. It says that she has, in verse 21, that all of her household is clothed with scarlet. She's made them beautiful clothing, tapestry for herself. She takes care of herself. Let's just be honest. All of us like it when the virtuous women in our lives look nice and are provided for. And so she does that. Nothing dishonorable about that. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Man, here's a woman who's marked by great intelligence. Notice, her husband is sitting in the gates. He's a man of influence. the man who would there be sitting among the governing body of men who make decisions. And it says that he or she has strengthened his reputation. Every guy I know would say amen, right? She's made me a better man. And he says, when she sits in the gates, it says, man, he is known. People are like, man, that's so-and-so's, man, that's his wife. That's so-and-so's husband. Man, that guy's got a good wife. Now, don't you want to have a woman like that in your life? Amen. Amen. Don't you want to be surrounded by virtuous women like that in your life? Absolutely you do. And it says, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. I'll be honest with you, they're a little bit jealous because his wife's just so good. Amen. His wife's just such a good one. Well, it goes on and says this. It says she makes linen garments. She sells them, supplies the sashes. And in verse 25, it says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Ladies, that's a set of clothes that don't never go out of style. Amen. Strength and honor. Man, that's what we need to teach our young men to do, is pursue relationships with women that are marked by strength and honor. Things that make a difference, things that have eternal value, versus pursuing things that are lesser things. Amen? Well, you can say, oh, me, it don't matter. It's true either way. We need to have these young men pursuing women that are living the right way and acting the right way and being women of pursuing holiness. And it says, strength and honor are her clothing. She rejoices in time to come, and she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is a law of kindness. She can speak truth, but she can do it with love. Amen? Isn't that the way it ought to be? Speaking truth with love. Not backing down. Speaking the things that are true. Her family hears it. Others around know it. And she knows when to speak, and she knows when to remain silent. And then the scripture says, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. I don't even know what that tastes like, but I'm going to tell you what, it sounds like laziness to me. And she says, she's not going to be that person. Nobody's going to know her to be lazy. She's an intelligent woman who knows how to manage the affairs of life. I'll be honest with you. As I think through this, as I mention those things in that long section, I bet some of you are thinking right now, people in your life that modeled many of those things. Some of you are thinking about a mother or a grandmother. You're thinking about an aunt, right? You're thinking about some sister or a niece maybe even that you've got in your life. You say, man, that's a friend of mine that looks just like that. That would be true of me. I mean, one of the first people that I would think of when I see a passage like that is I think of my Aunt Lib. You know, some of y'all knew her. She was all of 5'2" tall, had white hair from the day she was born. I mean, everything I ever remember her was white-headed old short lady. And she was the smartest lady I remember growing up that I could ever remember. Never got out of high school, didn't do any of those things, got married as a young girl, and just sort of made her way through life. But I remember watching her growing up and saying, man, this lady's just smart. You know, she would have business endeavors and do all kinds of things like that. She knew how to love her family well. I read through this passage. I'm looking at all these things. I'm like, this sounds so much like her. She cared for the less fortunate. It wasn't anything for her to just take and give and try to help somebody along the way and give them a help when they were down. And she taught me to do the same thing. She displayed, I believe, the value of hard work. Trust me, I showed her many a butter bean at her house and snapped lots of snaps. And I saw her can and do all those kinds of things. Many of you were the recipients of her love for baking. And you probably got a cake somewhere along the way because she loved to care for the community that she served in. And she was a woman who had this intelligence about her that knew how to manage the affairs of life. She wasn't afraid of the snow either, because I think she had 9 freezers and they were all slap full when she passed away. But nonetheless, it was something there if you wanted to eat it, if you could risk it, you know what I mean? And it was there to eat. And so she wasn't afraid of the days of troublesome times ahead, because she knew the one who held tomorrow. She spoke with wisdom and she offered great advice to me as a young man. Now listen, I know, you know, you're thinking of people in your life like this as well. She wasn't a perfect lady by any stretch of the imagination, but I know one thing. I know she loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that she taught classes here at this church, and she taught Sunday school and nursery classes through the years. I remember her dragging me to this church when I was a little boy. And boy, it meant a whole lot for her to think I would ever come full circle and come back here again. I'm grateful for people like that in my life. A woman who could exemplify some of these things that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about today. I'd say to you, if you've got memories of intelligent women like this in your life, thank God for them. Praise the Lord for them. Finally, I'd say this, not only is a virtuous woman marked with integrity and industry and intelligence, but lastly, and most importantly, she is marked as being virtuous because of her intimacy with God. The scripture says this, beginning in verse 28, it says, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well. You excel them all. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is passing, but the woman who fears the Lord, what? shall be praised. Man, praise the Lord for that. Do you see this? That the lady was honored by her children, she was honored by her husband, and she was honored by her walk with her Lord. Man, there didn't get any better than that, ladies. And no matter what you're striving to be, I pray you'd strive to be a virtuous woman who has an intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Now, I know right now they call you everything but blessed. Amen. Some of y'all struggling through them years. You got some teenage angst going on at your house, maybe. I don't know. But I want to let you know there's coming a day when we walk faithfully with the Lord that women, there'll be a better day and they'll be impacted and their lives will be changed. And in due season, there will be praise for all that you've endured for the sake of the glory of the gospel. Her husband praises her. He leads the way, I believe, in honoring his wife. In my house, there are no children that will disrespect their mother in my house. It just ain't going to happen. I'll smack teeth out for that. That just ain't happening. And y'all can sign me up for the rules of people that are getting mad about it. You don't disrespect my wife. And that's because that's their mother. And I don't disrespect her, and they ain't going to disrespect her. Amen. And so in my house, we're going to praise a virtuous woman. We're not going to condemn or talk back, anything like that. Don't ask my kids about that. Now, the children will often lead, follow the lead of the father. And I believe it's the father's responsibility, as Scripture teaches here, to praise this one who God has placed in his path. And look at what he says. He says, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. In other words, baby, you're the best of the best. Now, don't every woman in here want to hear that from some man? Don't you want to have a young man, you young men, be raised up? And we need to raise up a generation of men that know how to praise their wives. They need to be able to come along and say, listen, you excel them all. I got one eye, and it's just on you. It ain't on nobody else. It's you. And that's the way God set this thing up from the very beginning. It says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. We all know that. Everything we own is falling out of place. Wrinkles pop up the next day. You know, everything once was sucked in and fell out. Everything else ain't like it ought to be. Look, y'all know it. Charm is deceitful. We can be charming up until the end, but man, beauty is passing. It's beauty in the eye of the beholder sometimes, amen? And that's why you need to have a virtuous wife and a virtuous man who would come together and say, baby, I love you all the way through to the end because God's put you in my path and God's brought us together. And you're as beautiful today as you've ever been to me, and you excel them all. And there's not a lady around that wouldn't want to hear that. I want to encourage you women today not to be fearful of this portrait of a godly woman, but I want you to see this as a situation where God's not expecting perfection from you, but I believe that God is pointing out for you that there is a way of life that's designed for you, a path in which you could say, I want to be a virtuous woman, a woman marked with integrity. You can do that. A woman marked with industrialness, a sense of not being lazy, working and willingly using your hands to serve the Lord. You can do that. Being a lady who's marked by intelligence, who knows how to navigate and manage and manipulate the things of life for the glory of God. You can do that. You can be a lady who walks with the intelligence with God. Stop making excuses and stop saying, well, I could never live up to all these things. Well, God's not saying for you to be perfect. He's saying for you to strive in this direction, to be this kind of a woman, to lead the way for your daughters and your sons to follow after. Fathers and husbands, maybe today we need to be reminded never to cease to praise the Lord for the one that God has put in our life, a godly wife or maybe a godly mother. We ought to never get tired of saying how much we love them and care for them and appreciate them. It is appropriate to praise them in the Lord. And then let me just say this, John Piper, a writer, pastor, you know, such as that, he put it this way. He said there's at least three good reasons why we should be able to praise these godly women in our lives, all right? Because some of you want to be all pious right now and say, we shouldn't praise anybody but Jesus. Let me just tell you three good reasons why it ought to be a good idea to praise these godly women. Number one, it just feels good to do it. I like that. It just feels good to do it. Here's why. Because praise is the fullness of the expression of joy. Joy is in our heart. God puts this godly, virtuous woman in our life, men, and we say, you know what, boy, that just fills me with joy. But praise is when it comes out, all right? And it just feels good to let that praise out for those that God has put our way. It feels better to praise, I'd say, than to pout, amen? And so instead of being a man who complains about the woman, how about praise a little bit on the woman who God has put in your life, and he's made her a virtuous woman. Secondly, not only does it feel good to do it, but it honors the Lord. When a woman honors the Lord and we praise that woman, we are praising the one who God created. And we're saying, listen, God, you created her. She is your precious gift. And God, when I praise her, in essence, I'm praising you by doing that. Think about it like this. If you were to compliment my children for something they did well, and I know that might be far and few between, but say you did, maybe their manners or something like that, would that not honor the mother and the father by doing that, right? And so if you were just coming to me and say, hey, man, I just want to let you know, man, your kids did such and such, and it was a complimentary comment, I'd say, man, that brings me honor. And so it is when we praise that which God has created. We praise these women who are virtuous, who come into our lives, and when we do that, it honors Him by us praising them. And it feels good to do that. And then finally, and I like this the most, is that it strengthens her hand in the Lord. It strengthens her for the day ahead. It strengthens her for her walk with Christ to hear the praise of her husband. You know, look, tell her, here's the way I put this. Tell her today what you wish she would know if tomorrow never came. Tell her today what you wish she would know if tomorrow never came. Why? Because it'll strengthen her day. It'll strengthen her hand in the Lord. It'll strengthen her journey. Our praise will help her to carry on, to strengthen through the trials, to affirm her work in the Lord is valuable, and it will help her to excel in all things. Oh man, a virtuous wife. Who in the world is going to find one? Well, I hope they can come to Epsom and find a few. That's what I hope. As I hope somewhere along the way we'll say we'll be women of integrity here at this church. We're going to be women who are marked by being industrious. We're not lazy. We're going to work hard for the glory of God. We're going to be women that are intelligent, and we're going to be women who have intimacy with God, and we fear the Lord. But you, at the end of all this, you've heard me go on for the last 30 minutes. You might say, preacher, I ain't got no connection to anything in Proverbs 31. I'm not wealthy. I'm not royal. I don't have anything to do with this passage. I've read this, and I mean, everything you said is cute and funny and nice and whatever, but it just ain't for me. It's not mine. Then I want to give you a final word of encouragement today. Maybe you feel like this description doesn't quite match. Don't lose heart. God knows where you are, and He knows your heart. You might say, well, I'm not from a famous family like this, and I don't have those domestic gifts that they're talking about, and so none of this could mean anything to me. Well, I've studied the Scripture this week in preparation for this, and I'd say to you this. I've only found in one other place of the Scripture where the word virtuous is found in regards to a woman. And it's found in an obscure place. It's found in the book of Ruth, one of my favorite books of the Bible. The Bible tells us in Ruth chapter 3, verse 11, as Ruth is sitting at the feet of Boaz, the one who would become her kinsman, redeemer, and Boaz looks down at Ruth, this one who is in such desperate straits, and he says to Ruth in 3:11, and now my daughter, he says, do not fear, I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know, what? That you're a virtuous woman. You're a virtuous woman. Now here's what I want you to catch with this. Ruth 3:11 is saying the same thing as Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous wife? Same phrasing. Here's what it's saying. Is it saying that the virtuous wife, the virtuous woman, her virtue is not based in her circumstances. It's based in her relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the distinction. That's the factor. It's not about you saying, well, let me look at all the things I don't have. You want to talk about what you don't have? Look at Ruth. Ruth got the title of being virtuous when she wasn't even a wife any longer. Her husband had already died. She was a widow woman. Ruth got the title of being virtuous when she wasn't even a mother yet, but yet she was still virtuous. I'm trying to encourage some of y'all right now who are like, well, this don't apply to me. No, it does apply to women in our lives. Here's a woman who became described as virtuous by Boaz when she was a widower from a foreign land. She had no wealth. She didn't own fields and crops. She couldn't go gather anything out of a field. As a matter of fact, all she was doing was going around the corners of the field, catching the gleanings that were there left over by the laborers just so she could survive. She had nothing like Proverbs 31 describes. She couldn't go off to foreign lands and get exotic meals and bring them back to her family like the merchant ships. No, the Bible says in the book of Ruth that she was doing the best she could to eat some barley cakes with her mother-in-law, Naomi. She had nothing to do with these things as it describes in Proverbs 31. Here's a lady who was not extending her hand to the poor and needy. She was the poor and needy. And only by the grace of God was she taken care of and found her redemption in Boaz. But here's the common denominator between Ruth 3:11 and Proverbs 31:10. And that's both of these women feared the Lord. They feared the Lord. Which to me says this, that what makes you a virtuous woman is not driven by your circumstances. It's driven by your relationship with the one who this book was pointing towards, Jesus Christ. You want to be a virtuous woman? Don't make up all the reasons why you can't be. No, you just pursue the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll see your virtue on display. You'll find that in Christ, even without all the frivolous things and the fancy things in Proverbs 31, you'll find in Him that you'll have what you need. Ruth would say in Ruth 1, verse 16, she looks to Naomi. Naomi says, honey, you don't want to go with me. Go back. Make a life. Find another husband. And Ruth says this in Ruth 1:16, wherever you go, I'll go. Wherever you lodge, I'll lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. And Ruth made a declaration of faith. In the Proverbs 31 poem here, writing about this woman, there's a declaration of faith that she was a woman who feared the Lord, and she should be praised. You see, that's all God's asking of you this morning, ladies. He's not asking for perfect women. He's asking for women who find their identity and their perfection in Christ. And He'll do the rest. A wise woman is a saved woman. And a saved woman is a godly woman. And a godly woman, regardless of life circumstances, is to be treasured in this life and the one to come. And my prayer for you this morning would be that you'd be a woman of virtue and you'd leave an impact on those around you. Maybe today as we conclude, you'd say, preacher, a lot of these things I found are areas of weakness in my life. You don't need to confess those things to me. Confess them to Jesus and find in Him the wisdom of God that can put it on display through you to help you become a person of integrity, to help you be this woman who works hard and has intelligence and who walks with the Lord. Those are the reasons why your children will rise up and be blessed by you, and your husband will sing your praises in the street corners, because you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never been saved, boy, today's the day. What a day it would be for you to make the decision to follow Christ for the first time. Oh, it's no greater decision you could ever make. No greater thing for a mother to do, a wife to do, a young lady to do. It's no greater decision for a young man to do or an old man to do than to follow the Lord with all their heart. I'd ask you today to consider seriously what that means, that you'd admit you're a sinner and confess your need for Him and place your faith in Christ alone. If you do that today, the Bible describes what you're doing as being saved, saved from your sin, saved from yourself, and saved for eternity to be with Jesus. Won't you do that today? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, these final moments as we prepare to sing, I pray that your word has gone forth and you won't let it return void. I pray it will bring conviction where it is due, and God, bring change and transformation as only you desire. God, I pray for our ladies that are here, from the youngest all the way up to the oldest. And God, I pray, whether they're married or unmarried, wives, or whether they have children or don't have children, doesn't matter. I just pray, God, that they would be women that would pursue the Word of God. They'd walk with you. Lord, they'd have a fear of the Lord at the forefront of their life. The Bible began in Proverbs saying the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and it ends by saying the fear of the Lord is a picture of wisdom. And so, Lord, the wisest course of action for us is to follow hard after Jesus. Lord, would you give us your Spirit today for the believers here that we may do just that? And for those that have not chosen to follow Christ yet, I pray this morning will be a day of salvation for them. Oh, that they'd come, get saved, and have their life changed forever for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.